Well, good morning. God is good.
All for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. For us.
Do you believe that?
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Sing with me.
Oh, mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing.
I'll tell you, there's no love like the love of Jesus, the one who saved us and forgave us. While we were enemies of God, he sent his son for us. There's no love like that.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious.
Sing faithfulness, none can deny.
And faithfulness, none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free.
Sing this today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who lives in me. And you are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken.
You
have saved me. It is risen. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are You came to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken.
You have saved me.
It is risen. Christ is risen. Jesus, so let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher.
Sing that with me.
So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken and you have saved
Amen.
Me. It is risen, Christ is risen, Jesus, you.
As we continue in worship today, it's because of his amazing grace that we can be called children of God. We pray that we would do his work in this place. As we worship and proclaim your name, we're just so thankful, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Sing, 'twas grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Grace appeared the hour I first.
this today, my chains.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed.
Thank you so much that we're gathered together in this place at Luke 14 Fellowship to know you, to grow in you, to go in you to the world. Thank you.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. Should be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amen. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Let's pray together. God, we're so thankful that you've forgiven us our sins, that you've given us a new life in Christ, that you've made us new creatures, and that there is nothing that can take us from the palm of your hand. We know that we don't struggle with flesh and blood. Lord, we just thank you so much that you do fight our battles, that you make a way for us, that you lead us as our good shepherd, that you go after the one, you leave the 99. We pray that you would just continue to bring all people to yourself. We give you this time and this song, Lord. We thank you for the grace of God.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes, the kind that won't go away. When I turn around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head, the failures and the can't forgets. But standing here now, I'm thanking God it's behind me. 'Cause I've seen nail-scarred hands reach out and wipe it all away. Now I see grace Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave and the stone that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw son. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. I still heard, fall short of what you say I'm worth. And that devil says I don't deserve what you did on the cross. And he's right, cause I don't. But you did it anyway. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave and the stone that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw the sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, oh, my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Thank God Almighty, gonna sing it again. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin.
I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave and a stone that you rolled away. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave and a stone that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw the sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Thank God Almighty, gonna sing it again. Grace, grace, God's grace.
Amen. You know, as we were singing Amazing Grace, and then the added portion by Chris Tomlin, My Chains Are Gone, I just began to think, do we get overwhelmed by the grace of God? You know, if you think about it for a moment, in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 1 and 2, God creates. And he creates man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And what did he do? But he gave man a purpose. He said, I want you to rule over all of my creation. But in Genesis 3, man did something catastrophic. He took of the fruit that was forbidden. And in doing so, man, Adam, handed over the rule that God gave him to Satan. And Satan handed him shackles. And those shackles have been passed down from generation to generation because through one man, sin entered this world. And so the death did, and it went to all mankind. And God in his grace, in his mercy, in his love. Listen, this is so incredible. In Genesis 3, before he even gives the curses, before he even tells Adam and Eve what's going to happen because of their sinfulness, he says in verse 15,
I'm going to send my son. Church, when we sing Amazing Grace and when we sing that the shackles have been removed, we are singing about how God sent his son to reconcile us back to him so that those chains that had been given to us by the enemy falls off and that we're set free. Church, I don't know about y'all, but when we sing songs like Amazing Grace and all the different songs that were just sung by the choir speaking about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, I just want to stand up and shout. Some of y'all are going to call me Bapticostal. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm ready just to go crazy. Why? Why? Because God has removed the chains on me. He's removed them by the power of Jesus Christ, by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And sometimes we just sing Amazing Grace and it just becomes so traditional. May we not lose sight of the gospel. When we sing, may we be overwhelmed. And as the song just said, I'll sing it again. Grace, grace, God's grace. Sometimes we don't necessarily want to repeat something over and over, but let me just tell you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be repeating over and over and over about the glory of God. I love what Brother Ed told me one day. He said, David, some of these songs that repeat a lot, they're just preparing us for heaven, because the scripture says that when we get to heaven, that they're going to just say, glory, glory, glory to God. And it's going to be a continuation of that. Oh, I'm excited. All right. Today we're going to continue in 1 John, and we're going to be in chapter 2. And listen, in this passage, John speaks of the Antichrist. And so today we're going to take just a little bit of a journey throughout Scripture on the Antichrist. I want to give some practical points at the end that helps us to know what can we do in light of the information that God gives us through his scripture about the Antichrist. What I'm not going to do is speculate. What I'm not going to do is try to tell you who the Antichrist is outside of what scripture tells us, or when he's going to show up, because I don't know, and neither do you. Even if you've spent hours and days and months and years, you're still speculating. Our job today is to let the Word of God interpret the Word of God. So I'm going to open up God's Word today. We're going to read verses 18 through 24, and then we're going to look at what the Scripture says about the end times and the Antichrist. It says this in verse 18 of chapter 2. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. And even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you all know. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Father, you are so good, and we just praise your holy name. And Lord, I ask today that as we open up your word, as we open up your truth, Father, that we would just look at Scripture today, and that we would place this into our heart, and that we would live out in light of what you are teaching us, knowing that you have conquered death, hell, and the grave, that you have conquered the enemy. And so, Father, may we not fear today, but may we look to you and find our peace and our hope. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. The first thing that we see in this passage is that he says this term, the last hour. It says in verse 18, children, it is the last hour. So what is this time frame of the last hour? We need to first look and think through the phrase that speaks of the last days or the end times. We see this spoken in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost when Peter is speaking of Joel. It says this in Acts 2 verses 17 through 20. Let me go back to verse 16. It says, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And then he goes into all that will happen. He says that the sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see vision and old men shall dream dreams. Even on the bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit and they will prophesy. And he continues on in this passage and he's saying that, listen, what you are seeing at Pentecost is a fulfillment of what Joel has said. So we can recognize and understand that in Acts chapter 2, we see the beginnings of what is considered the last days or the end times. According to Acts chapter 2, we are in these last days. You may say, well, that's 2,000 years ago. How long is the last days? We'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus also speaks of these last days in Matthew 24, 3 through 14. And many of you know this passage and you can probably quote portions of it. Jesus said this as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will happen. And what will be a sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things will merely be the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will be betrayed one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. What is Jesus saying? But he's saying that these last days, ultimately, from the time that Jesus ascended, from his first coming until his second coming, that there will be a time that you begin to see birth pains that will take place. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars. He says there will be earthquakes, famines, false prophets, and that the gospel must be preached throughout the ends of the world. And in this, he says that when all of that happens, then the end will come. Then Christ shall return. So let's just talk about that for a moment. Wars and rumors of wars. Well, we already live in a day where there's a Ukraine crisis between Ukraine and Russia. You know there's still an issue between Israel and Hamas. But did you know that currently, according to some agencies, there is 32 global conflicts going on right now? 32. It says there will be earthquakes. Church, did you know that in the past 24 hours there was 29 earthquakes? One was a 3.0 earthquake in McGee, Mississippi. That's actually pretty close to here. It says there will be famine. According to World Vision, last year in 2024, 9% of the world lived in extreme poverty. That's around 712 million people. According to the research, those who live in extreme poverty live on $2.15 a day. Church, that's around $65 a month. That's $785 a year. Some of you thought you didn't make a whole lot. Now you realize real quickly. There is famine all over our land. There's poverty all over the world. There are people who are starving. It says there will be false prophets. Now, I tried to do some research on this, and I don't know exactly how accurate this is, but I had multiple sites that were showing me the same number, that there is an estimated 10,000 religions in the world today. Let me just say that again. Multiple different sites that I was trying to do research on kept saying that there was around 10,000 different religions in the world today. Church, I'm here to tell you, Jesus says in John 14:6 that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, that there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. So if you don't believe there's false prophets today, if you don't believe that people are deceiving and manipulating and even maybe in their have good intentions but yet have been led astray, if there's 10,000 religions in the world today, 9,999 of them were wrong. It says in the scripture that Christ will be preached throughout the world. The Joshua Project projects right now that there's 4,420 unreached people groups in the world. Now, church, we see that there is famine. We see that there's earthquakes. We see that there's wars and rumors of wars. We see that there's false prophets. We see that there are people who are still in need of the gospel being shared. And listen, I'm so thankful for the IMB because they have literally put together teams that are looking for these people, looking for those who have never been reached. Some that are literally hiking through mountains and valleys and terrains that are so difficult just to try to find these people. Jesus tells us that when these things are happening, know that this is not the end, but the end is soon. In 1 John, he says that these are the final hour, the last hour. Paul also shared with us what's going to happen in these last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says, Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." Do we not see that today? It's all over the place. And then it says in verse 5, "holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men." Peter also gave a warning of these last days in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and then verse 9. It says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued as it was since the beginning of creation.'" He says in this passage, and you can go read verses 3 through 9 later today, but he says, hey, at the end days, there's going to be people saying, "Didn't he say he was going to return? He hasn't returned. He's not coming back. That was just all false." I tell people when they say he hasn't returned, I say to them, "Praise God for your sake." In verse 9, Peter goes on and says this, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowlessness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Church, this is what we see in the last days. We are living in the last days. People always tell me, is this the end? Listen, we're living in the last days. I can tell you that according to Scripture. All these things are happening. And Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. But let me just tell you, when I say that Jesus is coming back soon, does not necessarily mean soon in our understanding. Because God is not confined to time like we are. That's the reason why even 2,000 years ago we could say that the last days have started and still be in the last days 2,000 years later. Because Peter, even in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, as I just read to you verses 3, 4, and 9, let me go back and read verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape you, or escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like one day. So we know that we live in the last days. When is this going to end? I don't know, but I believe it will be soon. How soon? I'm not concerned with that. But what I'm concerned about is that if it is soon, even if it's 1,000 years, that's soon. But if Christ is coming back soon, what I'm concerned about is that there is a lot of people in this world who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm not going to spend my time trying to figure out exactly when he's coming back. I'm going to spend my time knowing that he's coming back and sharing the gospel with those who are in need of a Savior. And church, we must do the same. People tell me sometimes, they say, David, I spent all this time and I believe it's going to be here and this is what's going to happen and this is how it's going to take place. And I said, how much time have you spent? And they tell me how much. And I said, okay, in that amount of time, how much time have you shared the gospel? And I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to refocus the priority. Because Jesus even says in Scripture, only the Father knows when he will return. Church, if only the Father knows, then why do we try to figure it out? That doesn't mean that we don't live in light of the fact that he's coming back. It doesn't mean that we don't live in light of the fact that he's coming back and he's coming back soon. And that we don't live in an urgency to share the gospel. John goes on in 1 John chapter 2, and he says that the Antichrist is coming. But in saying that the Antichrist is coming, he says in verse 18, not only that, but the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. He says that the Antichrist is coming. So the second thing that we see in this passage is the Antichrist. The Antichrist literally means against Christ. It literally means to be against Christ. And though the Antichrist is coming, the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Danny Aiken says it this way, that the Antichrist spirit is the principle of spiritual error. Let me say that again. The spirit of the Antichrist is a principle of spiritual error. Scripture gives us very clear understanding in 1 John of what the spirit of the Antichrist is. In 1 John 2:22, it says, he who is a liar, but the one who denies Jesus Christ, this is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. So we see that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to deny the Father and the Son. In 1 John 4:3, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. So we see in 1 John 2:22 that the spirit of the Antichrist denies the Father and the Son. We see in 1 John 4:3 that the spirit of the Antichrist does not confess Jesus Christ. In 2 John 7, we see another. It says, for many deceivers have gone out in the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, the spirit of the Antichrist denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. Church, we must recognize that the spirit of the Antichrist is a deceiving spirit. It uses deception and manipulation. It's not simply just coming against a Christian and saying, you're terrible and you're wrong, and what you would think of as persecution. It can be things like, Jesus was a good man, but he's not the Christ. It can be things like, Jesus did die a martyr's death, but he didn't rise again. It can be things like, hey, yes, I think Jesus and Christianity is great, but all religions lead to heaven. It could be along the lines of, Jesus was a factual person, but he was simply born of Mary and Joseph. Church, anyone who denies Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of the living God, is under the Antichrist spirit. Let me just say that again. Anyone who denies Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, is under the Antichrist spirit. Scripture is so clear in this. That the Antichrist spirit denies the Father and the Son. The Antichrist spirit denies that Jesus came in the flesh. The Antichrist spirit will not confess Jesus. Why? Because he's from the enemy. And the enemy is a liar from the beginning and a deceiver. In 1 John chapter 2, it continues on and says, not only is there many antichrists that have appeared, but it says that the antichrist is coming. So there is many antichrist spirits in this world today, but the scripture also says that there is the antichrist is going to come. We see this all the way back in Daniel chapter 9 in the 70-week prophecy. And in the middle of that prophecy, in verse 26 and 27, it says, then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and having nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. And even to the end, there will be war and desolation. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of that week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offerings. And on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. In Daniel chapter 9, it shares about the fact that the Antichrist is coming. That 1 week is 7 years. If you go back and look, and I don't have time to unpack that here, but we've talked about the 70-week prophecy many times on Wednesday night and even here on Sunday mornings. It's the 7 weeks the 7 years of the Antichrist. And in the middle of that, he will say, hey, listen, it's time for you to worship me instead of worshiping God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 speaks so clearly of this. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself about every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself to be God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. There's a time coming when the Antichrist rises up and he makes a firm covenant. People will follow him. But in the middle of the 7 years will come the abomination of desolation when he says, you know, hey, you need to worship me instead of all other gods. We see that this is going to take place. In Revelation 13, we also see in verses 5 and 7, it speaks of the Antichrist, and it says that he will receive power from Satan, and that he'll speak proud words and blasphemy, and he'll rage war against the saints. Church, all of this is coming. People tell me all the time, David, do you see how bad it is out in our society and in our culture? And I say, yeah, it's only going to get worse. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. Because I'm not going to focus on how bad our society and our culture is. I'm going to focus on how good my God is. And I'm going to say, hey, it's going to get worse. And so that means even the more I need to be sharing the gospel. Even the more I need to be sharing the truth that will come against the deception of the spirit of the Antichrist. I need to be sharing the truth of God's word so that when the Antichrist does come, that believers will know the truth and will not follow the deception. You say, David, is he alive now? Is he born? Is he being raised up right now? I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not going to speculate. People have speculated many times in the past. And guess what's happened? It didn't come to fruition. I mean, wasn't it like in 88 Reasons in 1988 why Jesus was going to return? Well, you probably could have wrote a book, one reason why he's not going to return in 1988, because the scripture says no one will know. Church, we've got to see and know what is happening and what is going to happen. But we don't have to put a timetable on it. But let me just tell you that there's more about this Antichrist. There's more about what is going to happen. And this is what we sing about all morning. Because in Revelation 19:20, it says this, "And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophets who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone." Revelation 20:10 goes on just a few verses later. "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tortured day and night," or tormented day and night, "forever and ever." Church, I don't ever rejoice in anyone dying without Christ with a Christless eternity in hell. But I rejoice that the enemy, the true enemy, Satan, the one who deceived Adam and Eve, the one who took the rule that Adam gave to him and put chains on him, I am so thankful that he has been defeated by the blood of Jesus, and one day he will be locked up for all eternity. But church, there are people today that are still walking in chains, that have not heard the gospel for 1,000 unreached people groups. People in your own city, in our own city. For the first time, I heard of somebody who said, "I've never heard of Jesus." As I sat on a plane for 5 hours going from one place to another, getting to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody sitting next to me. Church, there are people all around us that don't know the gospel. And let me say it better than this. There are people all around us who are deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist and don't know Christ. And we have the greatest news of all time, that those shackles can be removed. So church, what do we do in view of what scripture tells us about the last days? What do we do in view of the Antichrist coming? What do we do with the time that we have? Look at verse 24. "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." As for you, let that abide in you that which you heard from the beginning. "If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life." So what do we do in these days? I think there's three things that I believe that are two specifics that are insinuated that God is showing us in this passage, and then one other that we can see in a roundabout way. So let's look at this. What do? We abide in the Son. We abide in Christ. John 15, he who abides in me will bear much fruit. We know this. It's my favorite word, abide. I want to abide. I don't want to try to live in this fallen and corrupt world. I want to abide in Christ so that way I know that I can live according to God's word in this fallen world. And in abiding in the Son, we need to confess the Son. Confess the Father. Remember, the spirit of the Antichrist does not confess Christ. If you remember in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For it is with a heart that a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Church, the last thing we need to do is to hide the truth of God and not confess to others Jesus. I am reminded of that little song, and I know that my wife probably won't want me to sing. But y'all may remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. Hide it under a bushel." Oh, y'all got it. I'm going to let it shine. And then we go into that, "Don't let Satan it out," right? Y'all remember that? Church, the last thing we need to do is hide the light and just try to live through our time. Oh, man, you know, we live in America, the home of the free, which I'm so thankful for. As I even mentioned at the very beginning, of those who have served and those that are here today that had just got back from boot camp. Listen, I'm so thankful that I live in the land of the free. I'm so thankful of the privileges. And listen, I just traveled abroad to multiple first world countries, and I am very thankful to be back here in America. I'm very thankful for the privileges, the comforts and things that we have. For simply the water pressure that we have. Listen, I am so thankful. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, we'll just say, "Oh, I'm a believer. I'm okay. My family's okay. Now we're going to sit back and enjoy life until I breathe my last." Church, there are people who have been deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist all around us, and they need the light of Christ to be shined, to be shown, to be confessed. We need to confess Jesus to our friends. We need to confess Jesus to our coworkers. We need to confess Jesus to the people that we come in contact with every single day. Scripture also says, abide in the truth. As it says in verse 24, the things that you have heard from the beginning, it says, abide in these things. You may remember at the very beginning of 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 3, it says, what was from the beginning, what you have heard, what you have seen with our, what we have seen with our own eyes, we have looked at and we have touched concerning the word of life. What was he talking about? He was talking about Christ. Jesus says that he is the way, he is the truth. So we need to abide in the truth every single day, church, because if we don't, we will be deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist. If you're not abiding in the truth, your flesh will deceive you. Any of you ever done something because of emotions instead of the truth? When you act on your emotions, you find yourself in a very difficult predicament. But when you act on the truth, you get to stand on God's word. Church, we must abide in the truth. As a friend of mine says, we must know the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth. We must know the truth. But more than knowing it, we must believe that what God says is not only true, but is right for our life. When you live a life contrary to the word of God, you are saying with your actions that you don't believe what is spoken. That's hard. Now, you may believe in your heart and you walked into sin. I get that. But our actions show what we truly believe in. If I have a chair up here and I say, I believe it will hold me up, but we'll never sit in it, what are y'all saying? He don't believe that's going to hold him up. We must know the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth. Church, we must abide in the truth in these evil days. The only thing that's going to be able to come against the spirit of deception is not your great wording. It's not how well you can proclaim something. It's only going to be the truth. Only the truth will set people free. And the last thing, as we abide in the Son, as we confess Christ, as we abide in the truth, the last thing that I believe is in this passage, but not spoken just straight up in black and white, I believe in this passage there is an urgency of the hour. Why would he say the last hour? Why would he say, listen, the Antichrist is coming? Why would he be warning them of what is happening or going to happen? And I believe that there is an urgency of the hour. To those who are believers in this room, there's an urgency of the hour for us to go and share the truth of God's word. There's an urgency of the hour to go forth and to proclaim the gospel. Yes, Jesus may come back 2,000 years from now, and it's going to be like a day for him. And you may say, well, there's plenty of time. If I were to ask in this room people who are over the age of 70 years old, if life has been but a blink, every one of them would say, absolutely. And if you're sitting in this room and you're 40 years old like myself, or if you're 21, 22 in college, or if you're in youth, you may say, oh, there's plenty of time. I'm telling you, you're going to blink and you're going to be my age. Amen. Every moment that we have is a gift from God to be used for his kingdom. And we don't need to wait till we say, oh, well, later I'll feel more comfortable to share. No, we need to share and confess Jesus today. For God could come back before I even finish this message. Or he could come back thousands of years from now. But either way, life is but a vapor. And there are people that are dying and going to hell because they have been deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist, because they have been deceived by the enemy. And Jesus has given them everything that they need to be saved through his finished work on the cross. And church, we need to go and share the gospel with everyone around. So what do we do in these evil days? We confess Jesus is the Christ. We abide in the truth, and the truth abides in us. And we share the gospel with people all around. As I shared at the very beginning, as I was sitting here and singing, if you've experienced your chains being removed, if you're not taking the gospel for granted, you're going to get overwhelmed by what God has done, and you're going to want everybody else to know about the freedom that is through Christ and Christ alone.